Accession number 1494, Paul Armstrong, reel 15.
Mr. Armstrong, reel 15. You moved to Whittingham, Mr. Armstrong. Where were you billeted?
Well, I had my wife with me, as it happened, so I was billeted, we were billeted on the village farm. Other officers weren't quite so lucky. There was one with the village blacksmith, there was one with the village postman, there was different. It was just a small village, and of course I had got the plum. I often wonder if it was due to the fact that months before the colonel had come to my house to a party and my wife had given him some information which he obviously was pleased to receive. Who knows?
So you tended to get a good billet after that?
Yes.
You've mentioned the fact that you were doing manoeuvres and exercises. What else happened while you were there?
Oh, it was just the troops were really being trained right up from morning till night. If it wasn't a company exercise, it was a battalion exercise, a brigade exercise, even a divisional exercise. They were going all out. And actually, this is what caused my next problem. Because due to the fact I was taken ill one night, and the doctor at the RMC doctor diagnosed poisoned throat, and it was unfortunately I had never had my tonsils out. And they were badly poisoned, and so I was whistled into York Military Hospital to have them removed and whatever needed to be done. This left my poor wife on her own in the middle of Wintringham at this farm.
What date would this be?
March 41. And I literally had left her overnight, but she was visited and looked after by the officers, particularly Robert Allen, who was wonderful, never let a day go past without he went to see that all was well. Being right in the middle of the country, the village, she had to walk over a mile, I think it was nearer 2 miles, to the nearest bus stopping point. You can imagine, it was right out in the wilds, a tiny little village, to get to York to visit me in the hospital. And the first time she came to see me, I was under sedation, and there were other three officers in this ward with me, and one of them said to Mary, your husband's a very brave man. And she said, I beg your pardon. She said, things he said. And she said, what do you mean? She said, he took two orderlies to hold him down. His language was the worst we'd ever heard. He was fighting a battle. And she said, well, I suppose that depends on the medication or whatever that they've given him, but it must have upset him mentally as well as physically, and passed it off. They were very, very good in the hospital, except for this unfortunate habit of making you lie to attention with feet lined up. And one tall member had to lie right up while the small member had to be pushed down to get in line. this is one of the unfortunate habits of military hospitals, but joking apart, the intention you get is first class.
Was this line to attention when a senior officer or doctor came in?
Anyone came in.
And include nurses?
Yes, I think so. I can't remember. I seemed always to be lying to attention. Good for the soul. I was actually there 3 weeks, and my poor wife had to travel up and down. It was very, very difficult for her, because in the small village there was no transport, no things like taxis or anything else. She just had to walk up to the bus stop and come back home then. But as I say, the officers of the battalion were very kind, and the farmer and his wife were even more kind. At that time, she was expecting our first child, who was due to be born in August. At the end of 3 weeks, I was discharged from the hospital, but sent for convalescent to Harwood House, the home of the Princess Royal. And once again, my officers made sure that Mary was taken to York, put onto a train home. Convalescence lasted 3 weeks, and the Harwood, the Princess Royal was very, very kind to all the officers.
This was an officer's convalescent.
They'd made the drawing room into a ward for officers convalescing.
Was this regimental?
No. And her husband wasn't in the slightest bit interested. He lived a life apart. Not a pleasant person, in my opinion. It was very, very pleasant, and I actually had the honour and pleasure of escorting Princess Mary to the cinema one night in a party. She was kindness itself, and brought occasionally her two sons in, youngish at the time, of course, 13, 14, 15 year old, and terribly embarrassed to meet all these officers. At the end of 3 weeks in the army, one is whitelisted, which means that you are returned to the depot. You lose your place in the battalion. And when I was taken into hospital, my batman brought all my gear, and I said, "I'm sorry, butler, it looks to me as though I lose you. We'll be parting now." "Oh no," he said, "we won't. Don't worry about that, sir. I'll see to it." And I said, "Oh, it's no, this is it. I definitely will be wirelisted." Whilst I was in the hospital at York, one of the nurses said to me, "Oh, by the way, sir, there's a soldier asking after you." And I said, "And what happens to be his name?" And she said, "Butler." "Poor boy. He's in such a bad state." And I said, "And what is the bad state he's in?" She said, "He's got very, very bad trouble in his lower back and his stomach." I said, "The stomach will be caused by too much to drink, and the back trouble will be caused by lying on his back instead of marching." "Oh," she said, "you are cruel. That's very unfair. He's a sick boy." Before I left, he came round to the ward to say that they decided that he wasn't fit to serve anymore, and he was being discharged, and he was going back home. I knew he was clever, but I didn't realise he was clever enough to uh, outwit the army.
After your 3 weeks convalescence, you went back to the depot, you said?
No, 3 weeks, yes, I went back to the depot, and I went to Braunsbeth. Colonel Halstead was in command there, and he was very pleased to see me, because I was from the 2nd Battalion, which he'd normally served with, and secondly, most of the senior officers had been posted to various units, and there was no one to command depot company, so he gave me the job of commanding depot company. They were terrible, but I think that they were very pleased to see me go, because 3 weeks later I was posted to the 16th Battalion in Rye, Winchelsea.
Were they terrible because there were young men just coming in?
They were quality? They were a mixture. They were returned to depot. A lot of the cases were real malingerers, scroungers, idlers, and the sweepings, who a good battalion would commander would get rid of, but unfortunately they arrived at the depot. And there were all sorts. There were regulars, reservists, territorials, you name it. There were all these sorts, and there were a shambles.
At the end of the day, what might happen to them?
Whilst waiting for postings, I hammered them mercilessly. The first time on parade, I sent them away and told the sergeant, the RSM at the depot, that I wouldn't look at a shower of that sort. They came back again, and I examined them once more and sent them away a second time. By that time, the RSM was very upset. The third time they came on, I made them all sit down and take the right boot off, and I inspected the socks and sent them away a fourth time. By that time, the RSM was incandescent, and I left it to him to deal with them. They were much improved during the next few days.
After your 3 weeks there, you said you moved to the 16th Battalion. Where were they?
They were in the battalion headquarters was in Rye, but I was sent to the D Company in Winchelsea. At the time, there was no commanding officer, because the day before I arrived, the colonel commanding them had been posted to the Duke of Wellington's, his own regiment, a battalion of the Duke of Wellington's. The 16th Battalion that I'd been sent to were a second line battalion, and after being with the 2nd Durhams, I was rather put out at the type of training. The state of training to me was very, very lax indeed. And I was rather put out. No one seemed to be terribly bothered. I couldn't grumble about where I was stationed in the old armoury in Winchelsea, which had been used by the services for several hundred years and was a most beautiful place. But it was more like a rest home than company headquarters. And I think, on reflection, that the company commander and the other officers rather resented the fact that I was from the 2nd Durham Light Infantry, and 2nd Battalion, I ought to say. And I didn't seem to get on very well with them.
Were these mostly conscript troops?
Yes. Yeah, it's the 16th. That's mainly conscripts. There was a few reservists mixed amongst them, as there always is. The army try and leaven its material in that sort of way. So, yes, there were a mixture, but mainly, by that time, conscripts.
Had you been promoted at all at this time?
I had temporary rank once or twice, but when you move to another battalion, you, and until it's confirmed, you revert. This happened to me several times in the war. I must be honest, part of the trouble was my own. I'm a teeny little bit outspoken, and I'm a little inclined to stand on people's toes. I blame myself. Relations were rather unhappy, and the young company commander of D Company must have felt that I was looking disapprovingly, because he did all he could to make life difficult. And finally, I asked to see the colonel, and at the time there was none, but I was to see the second in command. It was permission was very reluctantly given to me, and I went to Rye, and waiting in the or in the mess, none of the officers were speaking to me, but I heard a voice that I recognized, and it was the voice of Colonel Ware, who had been promoted since I first knew him as Major Ware. And he's a man rather deceptive. He spoke always in a very quiet voice, whether he was praising you or sending you to the gallows. He rarely was known to raise his voice. And I heard the voice of Colonel Ware. So as the door opened and the adjutant escorted Ware in, I sprang to my feet, clicked my heels, and waited. Hadn't long to wait. The other officers who were in the mess, making a particular point of not speaking to me, went on reading magazines and various other things, until Ware said very loudly, "Stand up!" And they looked round, shot to their feet, and he looked at the adjutant and he said, "How long have you been adjutant?" And the adjutant said, a certain period, and he said, "Oh, we will discuss that in the orderly room." And he said, "Your officers aren't terribly well-mannered, are they?" And then he looked across. "Oh," he said, "Armstrong, I am pleased to see you." And I said, "Yes, sir, thank you, sir. £3 full, sir." And I went in to see him, and he said, "Why are you here in orderly room?" And I said, "I want a posting, sir." And he said, "Why?" And I said, "I don't seem to fit in here. I would like to go back to the 2nd Battalion. I've trained with them. I feel that's my good place." And he said, "Well, it's too late. The 2nd Battalion have got under embarkation at that time." But he said, "I think you'll find that things will be different here." And I said, "Thank you, sir," and went back. And next time I saw him was on a route march, and just having come from convalescence and so on, I wasn't quite as spry as usual. I must have looked a teeny bit dejected, because he said, "I don't seem to think you're enjoying this march." And I smiled weakly. But the next day, he said he'd got me how shall I put it? on his reorganisation of the battalion, he was promoting me to command D Company. And I said, but sir, I've just had a letter from the military secretary transferring me to the Royal Engineers. And he said, the Royal Engineers? And I said, yes, sir. He said, you want to leave the Durham Light Infantry to go and build shit houses? I said, well, sir, it's not my idea. War Office have decided that they're posting me because I am a surveyor. Oh, he said, I'll fix that. And he rang War Office and he asked for the person responsible for postings. And he spoke to him and he looked a teeny little bit downcast and he said, yes, sir, I understand, sir. And he put the phone down and he looked at me and he said, I've just been informed that a War Office posting is an order and not a subject for discussion. Fortnight later, I was posted.
And what date was that?
It would be June 41 because I went to the depot first and a matter of just for a couple of weeks and I was given an experimental job with the Claims Commission stationed at Corps headquarters at Darlington.
Was that after the depot?
Yes, from the depot.
Which we haven't discussed on here. What job was that with the Corps?
Well, it was a formation that I hadn't known about. What had happened was, as you probably know, premises, private houses, hotels, all sorts of properties were requisitioned by the army. And troops, in some cases, not a lot of cases, were mistreating these premises. And the damages, the claims for damages, were rising so rapidly that the War Office had sent an instruction that Claims Commission had to investigate every complaint, and they hadn't sufficient officers to do it. And any officer who had experience in housing, in particular, property of any sort, was posted, and I was posted to Claims Commission.
This was before you went the 16th?
Oh, no. After.
So after the 16th, you moved to this Claims Commission?
That's right. I was still badged with the Durham Light Infantry, but I noticed that the rest of the Claims Commission officers were all general service. So I thought, well, this is obviously just a stopgap. And I will eventually go into the RE. But my posting to Darlington, as it happened, to Scotch Corner, as it happened, was quite lucky in one respect, that I had an uncle living in Darlington who asked me if it was possible for me to stay with them. Corps headquarters were pretty full up. And, an interesting thing happened there. I went to Corps headquarters, I reported, and I was the only sergeant in the mess. The rest of it was filled with, the nearest rank to me was full colonel, and it went up to full general. Corps commander being Sir Ronald Adam, the Adam's apple.
Which corps was it?
Northern Command, his call sign was an apple, Adam's apple, Sir Ronald Adam. And the first night I was there, the senior officers were saying, "Oh, Armstrong, by the way, pass me a book or pass me a drink or pass me a this, that and the other." And they had me running backwards and forwards. And Adam coughed slightly and they all looked round and he said, "May I remind you, gentlemen, that in this mess, all officers are equal. This includes Mr. Armstrong." And from then on, no one asked me to do anything. But I said to the colonel, the MGA, Major General Administration, I said to the MGA, "Would it be possible for me to live out? I have an uncle in Darlington who I know would like me to stay there, and it's near enough to be on call." And he agreed with that.
So briefly, what were you doing?
My job was to go around to all, all units in Northern Command, north of Darlington, and report on the condition of the accommodation that they were occupying, to note any damage, and to, if possible, to put in a figure which covered that. The office was in Darlington in a requisitioned house, and it was run at that time by a Colonel Sale, and he was a regular officer. He'd come from the Properties Department, I think. Anyhow, it was a roving commission. And I must admit that I was a little apprehensive coming from a line regiment to be what one felt to be snooping on other officers was, to me, a little embarrassing. But the colonel pointed out that someone had to do the job. It had got the money that was being lost to the country in damages was absolutely horrendous, and all I had to do was to fill reports in and send them in to him. So I set off and I did this.
So when you
this would be in July.
So when the army requisitions property, it takes on the responsibility of handing it back in the condition that it was originally requisitioned.
Yes.
And they have to pay damages.
Precisely. And it wasn't wanton or willful damage. In those days, people didn't do the sort of thing that one hears nowadays. What was normally happening, for instance, take an average house. A platoon moves into a house. They arranged possibly a section to a room. They have the kit, so they acquire large nails, 4-inch, 6-inch nails, nail two large nails in the wall and hang the kit up underneath where they're sleeping. And the very worst example I found, an unfortunate case in Redcar, interestingly enough, a room about 15 foot square, and there was over 100 nail holes, 6-inch nail holes in the walls. It was absolutely appalling. And it was because no consideration had been given to the troops that were there. No one had noticed what was happening, and therefore nothing was done. And it was vital that something should be done. I could understand that.
Did you have to assess the actual damage, or did you pass it on to someone else?
No, I assessed it then, and it was passed on to be either confirmed or otherwise. And